Well, and that is how she found out what a glory hole was. Hello and welcome. We are live on Video Store Clerks. Once again, Action Star August concludes tonight with the one, the only, another living legend, Sylvester Stallone.
Stallone.
Hit it up. We are your Video Store Clerks for the evening. We are three middle-aged men that are stuck in a video store. We haven't had a paycheck in 15 years. We don't even know who owns this freaking place. They just kind of locked us in one night. So we decided what else is there to do besides do a podcast and share our love for movies with the world. Thank you again for joining us. We are your Video Store Clerks. I'm Dave.
I'm Bull Hurley. I mean, Chadman.
I'm Chuck.
And tonight, join us on this very special night, our last night of Action Star August, with the one and only Sylvester Stallone. You ever wonder what the three seashells were? Find out tonight, Video Store Clerks.
It's not a legacy I want to leave behind, but I am Chuck Nasty.
How the fuck am I out of this place today?
This shit can't be any fucking good.
Welcome to the store.
Oh, Jesus. Oh, wait.
There he is. There we go.
Oh, and once again, it is Sylvester Stallone night, where tonight, each one of your clerks, that's us, will pick three of our favorite Sylvester Stallone movies of all time, which is a ridiculous task. Impossible, I would say. So if a movie you love is not on our list, that doesn't mean shit, and that certainly doesn't mean we didn't like it. It's just because this is impossible to do.
It is.
What do you want from us?
We're torturing ourselves.
But you work in a video store.
We torture ourselves.
We really do.
I love the facial expressions of Sylvester Stallone behind us. He always just looks so upset.
Oh, they were bad.
They were like waistline up and nobody had a shirt on.
Yeah, there was going to be like this jacked Stallone right next to
have a nipple by his head again.
Yeah, right God next to your face. Mama. They're like, yeah, we'll get a new one. It's fine. So anyway, if you're joining us tonight, jump into the chat. Share with us your favorite three Sylvester Stallone movies. We'd love to hear it. Well, let's get this party started. Hold on. I'm getting a clip. That's what I'm doing. I'm easily distracted anyway.
He really is.
Bigger truck.
Well, let's get started. I'll do my number three. And I still don't have, like, I'm still not sure. I'm still unsure about this one. But I'm going to go with Tango and Cash, the 1989 buddy cop film starring Sylvester Stallone and Kurt Russell, which was originally supposed to be Patrick Swayze, but he jumped out at the last minute to go do Roadhouse. It's funny how things worked out.
That would have been interesting.
Right?
Yeah.
Well, let's take a look at a clip from the Tango and the Cash, shall we? Action.
20 seconds, Cash. Well, it looks like there's a lot of new pollution in the sky tonight, and they call it Perrette. Are you okay?
Oh, yeah, I'm okay. I'm just worried about you.
Oh, thanks. I'm probably going to lose my arm on account of saving him.
Catherine, come on. It's a scratch. Cash, you got sloppy, and you stumbled.
Sloppy? Tango, I took that hit for you. You know, I can't believe after all I've done for you, you're still ungrateful.
Done for me?
Yeah.
Guys, this is no time to argue.
Catherine, he just can't accept it. He's a number two cop in LA. It's just very hard for him to hear.
Yeah, dream on, Bullwinkle. Look, you got your version. I got the truth.
Mm. Why don't you just admit it, that you guys work well together?
Oh, yeah. Well, no matter what you say, Ray, I've at least earned the right to date your sister.
Over my dead body.
Deal?
Oh, yeah. So oh. Early 90s.
It's the buddy films.
Oh yeah, that's a good one. That is a good one.
They hate each other in the beginning, and then they grew into a partnership.
Yeah, yep. It seemed like they still kind of hated each other a little bit.
Because he wanted to bang his sister.
That's the only reason I'm going to try to like this guy, just because I'm banging his sister.
Yeah, Kurt Russell and his famous laugh that he does in that scene. He always like, you know, whatever. But he honestly, Tango and Cash, though, it's almost if Jack from Big Trouble in Little China,
right,
is, you know, because that's exactly, that's how he acts. I mean, although was is he Cash or Tango?
Who? Cash.
Kurt Russell?
Cash, right. Yeah. He's a little bit, he's actually a badass, unlike how Jack Burton is in Big Trouble in Little China. So it's almost like if Jack Burton actually gained the skills he actually like needed, and everybody keeps forgetting he didn't have in that movie, and then became like this badass cop dude.
Yeah. Yeah, because his name was Gabriel Cash, and then Ray.
Yeah.
Ray Tango.
Yeah.
And it was such a shame we never got a sequel to this, but the production went through fucking hell. I think four directors, I think, went through this movie. And the ending was changed. The opening was changed. Editing. I think they got this movie out like right at the last minute before it was supposed to be released. So that's probably why they never wanted to go back and do it again.
It's understandable.
But maybe now that everybody's older and wiser, maybe someday they'll come back and do it. I doubt it, but you know, hell.
See, Tango and Cash is my number three as well.
It was almost on my list.
He was, and then we watched Tango and Cash again. Then he was like, "Yeah,
yeah, it's my number."
It's a damn good movie because I watched it again the other day too.
Terry Hatcher looking good.
Oh yeah, yeah. That was
Russell,
oh,
not
yeah,
looking so good in a dress.
Yeah.
He was not a sexy chick at all.
Yeah.
Kiki.
That scene where where Stallone's sister's fucking giving him the massage, and it just sounds all sexual when he's just back there standing, like, listening to it.
What are you doing in there?
It's like, I can feel it going in deeper.
And he's like, oh. Heads up.
There you go. So Tango and Cash. If you haven't seen it, see it.
Rambo's a pussy.
Yeah. It's funny because, like, all the Rambo, like, the Rambo references in some of, like, his movies. It's just, like, Arnold and Terminator. Mm-hmm. And this one, of course, has the part, like, at the beginning of it, you know, he does the whole drug bust thing. Guy's like, oh, God thinks he's Rambo. He's like, Rambo's a pussy. And you're like, you just had to put that in, didn't you?
But he was just, like, a big adrenaline junkie because he, like, was a big stockbroker. He dressed like a banker, like, he just wanted to be a cop because he liked the action.
Yeah.
So, and then, like, then Cash was just, like, the usual street cop, kind of like Axel Foley in Beverly Hills Cop.
Yeah. Yeah. It's a very underrated buddy comedy. It's got good action in it. It is actually, it's a very fun movie. And that's like I've said before when we've been doing these action star things. It's cool because I get to go back and rewatch these movies and like actually have a reason to it. I realize how much I love them. Mm-hmm. And yeah, Tango and Cash is one of those. Yeah, it just about made my list.
Yeah. It's definitely a good one. Then they have but we had a problem with that guy's name last time too. The one dude that plays the villain, like the red hair.
Oh
guy,
yeah.
Like, his British accent in the fucking movie is great.
Yeah.
Like, everything he does just sounds totally off the wall.
Yeah. It
sounds so fucking goofy and cartoonish.
This movie's got some pretty cheesy moments in it. The stereotypical, like, action scenes and whatever.
Mm-hmm.
Like when they're escaping the jail and they're on the thing sliding down. Mm-hmm. And he just like falls off, and they're like, "Oh, like I don't know." It's like, dude, you would have like hurt yourselves falling that fucking fast and that high up.
I don't care how fucking strong you are.
And like, how did he make that hole outside of the jail and get a crowbar? And how'd the other guy get a chain?
It was all like, set up.
I mean, I know they said it was a corrupt prison, but damn.
Like, the warden guy was Cash's buddy from the precinct or something.
Mm. Yeah.
And the guy we're talking about is Brian James.
Mm-hmm. And that's also,
he's in fucking everything.
Jack Palance was the villain.
Yeah.
And mm-hmm. the great James Hong was in that movie, too.
Yes.
So, very cool.
Yeah. And, yeah, who was the, what's his name? The guy that was in Maniac Cop.
Oh,
the guy with the fucked up face.
Robert Zadar. Passed away.
Yeah, yeah. He was another one of those people that, like, I mean, he's very recognizable.
That one scene where he's like, you broke his jaw?
Yeah.
Like, it looks like he has makeup on, but it really doesn't.
He just really got a big jaw.
He really, he passed away a couple of years ago. If I remember correctly, I think.
We'll find out.
Well, that was your number three, too?
That was my number three.
All right, well, let's hear Chuck's number three.
Well,
yeah, he died in 2015.
Okay, so I'm off on time, but yeah, I was kind of right. my number, my list, this was the most difficult. And this is what I was going to say before we got on the show when we were talking about this. We have done some good ones, you know, and some seem like they were going to be tricky, you know, Arnold, whatever, Van Damme, Lundgren. This is how I know that Stallone is my favorite action star, because this one I like a lot of his fucking movies, a lot more than I realized. And so this one was tough for me, and I'm gonna go ahead and put my number three, and it's gonna be fucking Cobra. I have not gotten to watch this movie in fucking years, but I've always loved it. I'm a dumb, and I got rid of a bunch of my VHSs a while back, and I'm pretty sure that was one of them that went with it. I could smack myself in the goddamn, like, hand. But, yeah, it sucks because you can't find it anywhere. I can't fucking find it anywhere to fucking watch. Like, fucking piss me off. I remember Cobra being like, you know, the usual badass. Like, he was the badass character. You know, there's a very the opening scene always reminded me of like a Dirty Harry opening scene with the guy in the grocery store who's, I can't remember his fucking name, but he's always playing a lot of shit too. He was the asshole sergeant or whatever in The Crow and a bunch of other fucking movies.
He was like the main villain's nephew in Roadhouse too.
Was he really?
He was the bartender at the Double Deuce.
Oh, okay. But, you know, and Sylvester Stallone, like, you know, he goes in and takes care of business where this guy's shooting people and he's fucking crazy. It's a very Dirty Harry fucking, like, opening scene. But, like, you see, like, how badass, you know, this movie's going to be from the very beginning. Like I said, I haven't seen it in a while, so there are parts of it that I can't remember. But it's got some horror elements to it. Yeah, good, because there's some horror elements to this I always liked. As a kid, when I was gravitating to more of the horror realm instead of the action world, because I was a big action fan, that was all I ever fucking watched, and then I realized how much I really liked horror movies. I started leaning more towards, like, the action movies that have, a little bit more of a thriller vibe. You know, there was Cobra, I've drawn a fucking blank now. Even going down to Nighthawks, you know, but there's just, Marked for Death, you know, Steven Seagal, shit like that or whatever. That was a little darker. And this one, I always loved it. It would come on fucking Fox and 19XX, I think, and maybe TNT. I don't know. One of those. And I always watched it. I always loved it. And Bridget Nelson's in this too, right?
Yeah.
In Cobra. Yeah. Yeah, man, talk about a woman that just did not age well. Huh?
Oh.
So they were married back whenever they did that movie.
Her, yeah. Stallone. Yeah. I actually forgot about that until I might have read it somewhere when I was doing some research on some shit, or I might have known that anyway. I don't know. But yeah, she was a hot little piece back in the day.
Mm-hmm.
And then she got older and started doing crack with people in Public Enemy. But Flavor Flav. But it also has a big motherfucker that I'm pretty sure was Arnold Schwarzenegger's stunt double at one point or whatever. Big, we've talked about him before.
Brian Thompson.
Brian Thompson.
Yeah. Okay. He's got the knife with the brass knuckles, right? Is that am I correct on that one? Okay. All right. Yeah. I thought it was. I always thought. Yeah. I always thought it was a badass fucking knife.
It really is.
But it's kind of a slasher movie. It is. Mm-hmm. The only thing that makes it like not just a slasher movie is the fact that you have Sylvester Stallone in his usual badass character like role, you know, where he's like the main guy and you know it's gonna be, you know, he's always kicking ass and all that shit or whatever. That's the only thing that makes it an action movie. Other than that, it has potential to be just a good old slasher film in a way. And you know, not as slashery, but pretty cool. But yeah, I even though I hadn't seen it in a while, that's why I almost didn't put it on my list. But it's such a good fucking movie. It really is. And I swear to fuck, if anybody out there watching has a copy of Cobra on VHS or DVD and you want to donate it, hit us up. I'm dying to have this movie. Like, since we started talking about this shit, I was like, fuck, I need to watch this movie. Can't find it fucking anywhere. So it's making the list.
I ended up just buying it on Prime because I couldn't find it. I was like, God damn it. Like, I used to watch the movie so much when I was a fucking kid. Like, it was just pretty much always on.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm so glad you said Cobra, because Cobra was actually my number two.
Nice.
And funny story about Cobra, but let's watch a clip first, shall we?
We shall.
It's actually the scene you were just talking about.
Excellent.
Place up. Go ahead. I don't shot her. Hey, just relax, amigo. You want to talk? We'll talk. I'm a sucker for good conversation.
I don't want to talk to you. Now you bring in the television cameras in here now. Come on, bring it in.
Can't do that.
Why?
I don't deal with psychos. I put him away.
I ain't no psycho, man. I'm a hero. You're looking at a fucking hunter. I'm a hero of the new world.
You're a disease, and I'm the cure.
Die!
Hey! Oh! Drop it!
So cool. Well, funny story about Cobra. As once upon a time, kids, Sylvester Stallone was signed on to star in Beverly Hills Cop. Imagine that. Well, he didn't like the comedy elements of it, so he went back and rewrote the whole movie, which would eventually become Cobra. And it was also based on a 1974 novel called Fair Game, which would also be remade years later. Yes, the movie with William Baldwin and Cindy Crawford.
Oh, wow.
Oh, yeah. That's cool.
Weird. And the movie barely fucking got released because they couldn't get past the MPAA with the ratings. It was rated X for the longest time, and a ton of stuff got cut from the movie. The grocery store scene was supposed to be done in a movie theater, which is kind of scary, where a lot of people got killed. There was a lady that was supposed to have her throat slashed and her hands cut off. There was a ton of stuff that got cut from that movie. So I wonder if a director's cut exists.
Gotta be one of those.
Yeah, I wonder if it's like salvageable now, the print. Because years later, a director's cut of RoboCop was released. So I wonder if one from Cobra exists out there.
That'd be interesting. See, that it goes back to what I was saying about, like, you know, it being damn near a fucking slasher movie or something. You know, if they would have left some of that shit in there.
And I remember Cobra was like, it was the forbidden Stallone movie. It was like the Stallone movie that came out when I was a kid that I wasn't allowed to watch.
Yeah.
Because it was so violent. Which, of
course, it's a pretty brutal movie.
Mm-hmm.
And he also is like a very Dirty Harry character also, if you think about it. You know, Dirty Harry didn't give a shit, you know, about whatever. He would just blow up shit and he would kill people, and it was just a smack on the hand, and he's back at it, and he has some cool thing he says, and, you know, even like right down to him taking the sip of the Coors, you know, before he throws the can. That's a Dirty Harry move, you know, in my opinion.
It's such a great opening scene too.
Like, I always thought the movie, like, it was just dope how he always had that fucking, like, Strike Anywhere match in his mouth.
Yeah.
And then he had that fucking 1950 Mercury all fucking souped up, like, badass. And apparently that was actually Stallone's personal vehicle.
Oh, nice. That doesn't shock me.
Right.
I was going to say something and I just went blank.
Yeah, that's what I thought.
Oh, no. We have a problem with that. It's because we're locked here in the fucking video store. We're losing our minds. Jesus. But going back and watch it again, I would say the unsung heroes of this movie are the fucking stuntmen. My God, that part with the motorcycles, Jesus. No CG there.
No.
They just were hitting the fucking pavement, people getting set on fire.
Yeah.
My God.
Brutal fucking movie. It really is. That's why, you know, it had to be on my list somewhere.
Well, we were looking it up and it said that there was just like Marion Cabretti alone killed 41 people in that movie.
That's what I said.
There was a total body count of 52.
I didn't know it was that many, but yeah, that was my reaction too.
That's funny.
Damn.
Getting them body counts up.
Well, he said, like, in, like, the script, I guess, the guy's last name was Cobretti for Cobra.
Mm-hmm.
But he was actually going to use the name Axel because of Beverly Hills Cop. But then he changed it to Marion because that's John Wayne's real name.
Ah.
Interesting. Makes sense. Definitely up there with the Duke as well.
Right. I mean, pretty much based that off of pretty much every Western he ever watched.
Yeah, it's pretty much if John Wayne and Dirty Harry had a baby, it would be Cobra.
They'd be walking really funny and being kind of really lanky.
And, you know, and Stallone talks a lot, so I don't know, but there's talk about a TV series of Cobra coming back.
Oh, well. You know what? They need to make it
a better way to do it, actually.
I remember, like, seeing it said something about Robert Rodriguez wanting to do it for the El Rey channel.
Which would be awesome, but who knows? I don't know.
Yeah.
I think the route they should do with this video game.
Yeah, I don't shop here.
Huh?
Remember the guy threatens to blow up the store? And then I don't care. I don't shop here.
Yeah. That right there is a Dirty Harry, like, smart-ass comment back, you know?
Right.
But no, video games. If they were to do it right, I think Cobra would be a kick-ass video game.
That would be a pretty sweet. Could be. Like a first-person shooter.
Or just do an old school and do it like side-scroll.
I would like that. But
that's just like a couple other games. Like the RoboCop game.
Yeah.
Well, there you go. So that's my number two as well.
My number two. Man, I struggled through all this shit today.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to have to say Demolition Man. Just because that movie was fucking... That's your number two as well?
Yeah.
Speaking of fucking movies that have video games, you know what I mean? That game was fucking hard as fucking a pain in the ass, and I played it for like a fucking hour, and I swear I was going to break everything.
What was that on? That
game.
What was it?
Was it on Sega? I thought it was on Nintendo.
It might have been Super Nintendo or Sega Genesis. I don't remember.
I don't remember. Try to block that out.
I just remember fucking with the game for hours and getting nowhere and getting pissed off.
Fuck that game.
Yeah.
I know I played it, but I can't remember shit about it. Because I was at a friend's house and they had it, but I don't remember much about it.
Yeah. Let's roll a scene from this.
Yes, please. Movie I love here. This fucking movie.
And it's definitely the seashells, I'm pretty sure.
Sir, I formally convey my presence.
We are not used to physical contact greetings.
Germs.
Look, I don't know if you guys know it, but you're out of toilet paper.
Hey, did you say toilet paper?
Oh, they used handfuls of wadded paper back in the 20s.
I'm happy that you're happy, but the place where you're supposed to have the toilet paper, you got this little shelf with three seashells on it.
He doesn't know how to use the three seashells. I can see how that could be confusing.
I don't believe it. Is that you, Spartan?
No. Zach? Zach Lamb? What happened to you?
I got older.
My God. I remember when you were a snot-nosed rookie pilot.
They finally grounded me.
Shit. You're a damn good flyer.
You are fined 2 credits for a violation of the
verbal morality statute. I'll be right back.
They seem to be friends, yet he speaks to him in the most profane manner.
Well, if you had read my study, you would know that this is how insecure heterosexual males used to bond.
I knew that.
Thanks a lot, you shit brain.
Violations of the verbal morality statute.
So much for the seashells. I'll see you in a few minutes.
Yeah, the volume was kind of low on that one. Sorry about that.
So much for the seashells.
Yeah.
What's fucked up about that movie is I was just looking into some shit about it earlier. And apparently, the original lead roles were offered to Jean-Claude Van Damme and Steven Seagal. But neither one of them wanted to be the villain.
Really?
I could see, like...
It would have been a whole different fucking movie. And then Lori Petty was supposed to play Huxley.
Oh, wow.
Totally that different was movie.
Completely different. And not to mention the fact, I mean, if it was like Steven Seagal doing it, like, he would just piss everybody off and
yeah,
it wouldn't work anywhere.
I could see those two clashing. Oh, man, that'd be bad. I think it'd be bad for Steven Seagal, too.
I think it'd be bad.
I'd like to see
him in the way.
Yeah, let's see him get his ass kicked.
The weird thing about Demolition Man is how it's aged, because you could almost see that society come.
Yeah.
Yeah, a bunch of soft people.
Yeah. That's what's really scary about it.
Yeah. Like that movie, like, from beginning to end, though, it just doesn't stop. Like, it's so good. And them two going back and forth, like, bantering with each other. Like, because apparently Stallone wanted Jackie Chan to be Simon Phoenix. But he didn't want to do it because he didn't want to play a bad guy. And then people, like, in China and stuff get mad at him for being a villain. Then they went with Wesley Snipes, and then he hated the hairdo because they had Simon Phoenix look like Dennis Rodman. And they said, like, the day after they finished shooting the last scene, he fucking literally sat in his chair and they shaved his head because he was tired of the hair.
I can believe it. It's probably the only movie that I actually like Wesley Snipes in besides the first Blade. Yeah. He does a great job. I mean, he really is. I could imagine anybody else playing that role.
No.
I mean, he's a bad motherfucker. I mean, he really is. He has no care for human life or any of that shit. And he's funny as hell, too, the way he is. He almost comes off like a Joker type.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You know, always laughing and all that shit. Like, there's so much. This is probably one of the funnest movies, like out of Stallone's, like, you know, filmography. But there's a lot of things in it that are just I don't know. It is kind of weird. Some of the laws and some of how people are, and you know,
they fucking sing like old commercial jingles.
I couldn't imagine just having that shit as like music. Jesus Christ, kill me.
That would drive me fucking bananas.
Sex through the VR.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Is that what you call that?
I haven't touched you yet.
It came out in 1993, but like I said, now, oh my God, take this as a cautionary tale. Watch this movie and see the direction we're going, and just stop.
Well, it's great too. Every thaws out, and they're like talking, and like he finds out like every fucking restaurant is Taco Bell, and then Arnold Schwarzenegger's the president.
See, it's not so weird now, is it?
Yeah,
they made him president.
I forgot about that part, actually.
And then you can't forget, like, 1990s Dennis Leary.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Man, he ranted about every fucking thing back in the day.
Yeah.
And then he goes into a fucking rant there in the movie.
I love Dennis Leary's character in this movie. I've always been a Dennis Leary fan. I was actually, when I was rewatching it last night, I had one of my friends over, and she'd never seen it. And she kind of said that the Dennis Leary character kind of, like, reminded her of me when he was like raining. And because I had those moments, I guess. But I the whole concept of that, like when, you know, they're at Taco Bell eating and he goes out and kicks all these guys' asses and he's just like, they're stealing food. They're just wanting food. Like, yeah, it's kind of weird, you know. But the rat burger.
That whole scene's great.
That whole scene is pretty awesome. When Simon Phoenix is in the museum and he's going through just getting weapons, like he throws that poor guy into the window. He's like, "How much you weigh?" or whatever he says to him. He just throws him. As a kid, I always felt bad for that guy because he just seems so nice.
I like whenever he's just kind of like looking for all the guns and he's like, "Wait a minute, this is the future. Where's all the phaser guns and shit?"
Yeah.
And it finally charges and he shoots and it blows up. He's like, "I love this fucking gun."
Yeah.
He's just a man that was just built on pure chaos. Like, he just wanted to see everything fucking burn. And I mean, before they got frozen, that's pretty much what he did.
Yeah.
And he fucking broke the whole fucking building down and blew up all the kids and the school buses. And
it's just the goddamn school, the goddamn buses just didn't get a hint or just didn't listen.
Yeah, that's why they are kind of like Batman and Joker.
They really are.
It's interesting. I never thought about that.
Yeah. I love that movie so much. Can't
fucking figure out any crimes.
Mm-hmm.
Because they're not used to crime. Like, it's just goofy. And then he gets like programmed in his head, like all kinds of fucking skills that he needs for the future. He's really like fucking tech savvy and can computer hack and all kinds of shit.
Mm-hmm.
Has all these martial arts like uploads, and then Stallone, he can knit a massive doily in a fucking sweater. It's like, I've been wanting to make a sweater ever since I got unthawed out.
Well, see, and then that's something else there, because like when he sits on the couch and he starts doing that, and that chick pops up and she's like, sorry. Yeah, like, dude, what do people do these days? Video chat and stuff.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like the VR thing, that whole scene's hilarious. Cause he's like, oh, all right, yeah, and like, I don't know, I always thought it just seemed kind of like a terrifying trip, like when they got on, and then just like, I don't know, there's, I think there's anything hot about the VR they were showing. That's not what I want in my VR. I was having sex with Sandra Bullock.
That'd have been Lori Petty.
No. I mean, I know Lori Petty was she was a cute girl back in the day, but Sandra Bullock, yeah, she was kind of perfect.
Her in Point Break.
Oh, definitely.
Mm-hmm. Who the fuck didn't?
Yeah.
Like she yeah.
She's bad. Yeah.
There was something about the Demolition Man that I wanted to point out also, and I'm drawing a blank on it at the moment.
I keep blanking too. It's like this one was overwhelming. This one was stressful.
Yeah, it really is. Like I said, it really is like probably one of the funnest movies to watch, like from Stallone. That's why.
Good.
I was just gonna say that's why this one had to make my list as well.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Apparently, they had a scene that they cut out that was actually like Stallone goes and finds his daughter, but they just cut it all out.
That's probably for the best.
Yeah, that would have got too weird and too much of a side fucking note. There was too much going on in that movie already.
Yeah, and it would have been
Beetlejuice being like the fucking the bad guy's like little right hand man.
Oh, that's right. Otho.
Yeah, Otho was the bad guy. The bad guy's secretary.
He worked so well in it. And then Jesse Ventura was in the movie as well.
Was he?
Yeah, he's one of the henchmen. He's got the fucking handlebar mustache thing going on, kind
of. Oh, one of the guys got, that snipes Unfold or whatever.
Yeah,
whatever.
Man, that rewatching that movie and the scene where they're getting frozen makes me feel fucking anxious as shit. Like, for one, it's got to be cold. Oh, two, you're drowning. You're drowning. You know you're freezing. Terrifying. Like, no.
Yeah.
No. That's just fucking insane to me. But I did like the fact that Simon Phoenix wanted to thaw out Jeffrey Dahmer.
It's like Jeffrey Dahmer. I love that guy.
Yeah. But yeah, you know.
Oh, go ahead.
Sorry. No, I was just going to say, but it is funny thinking about it though, because I will point out another movie with Wesley Snipes that I actually like, because I think it's kind of funny, and we've mentioned a few people that were in that movie, but Tu Wong Fu. Anybody remember him dressing up like a woman?
Yeah, the woman that were in drag.
Yeah, yeah. And the thing is, Wesley Snipes.
Yeah, that's right.
He pulls off a chick like a really scary
much better woman than Kurt Russell did.
I will say that.
Yeah, you all interested in a threesome?
Oh God, no!
Like, surprise!
What? Jesus Christ! Yeah, woohoo! There it is.
And the thing with Stallone is like his movies carried over into the 90s too. It wasn't just the 80s.
Yeah, he was good.
Yeah, I'd say that Stallone's movies have his career in action films and all that stuff has just it's been the longest running one. The movies are better than some of these other ones from these other action stars that we talked about. Like, you know, because Arnold, his movies got kind of stale after a while. Even some of the movies that you know because some of the Dolph's movies were kind of Van Damme's and whatever, but Stallone movies, honestly.
Yeah, even some of his newer stuff, still watchable. Like, even like that escape plan shit that he did. And
yeah.
Some of his other newer stuff, like, they're watchable, but I mean, they're not great, but they're definitely more watchable than some of the other stuff that, like, Dolph and all of them did later in their life.
Mm-hmm. I watched one the other night that I hadn't seen before called Eye on Me or Eye on You, whatever it is.
Yeah, you're talking about that. I didn't
know. Not bad. It was in the early 2000s, I think it was made. But I'd never seen, and it's kind of a thriller too, in a way. Serial killer kills his wife. He's a cop, and it's kind of a pretty gut wrenching scene when he, you know, was hugging his wife while her eyes are by her eyes gouged out. She's dangling from a fucking, you know. But he smokes cigarettes in that movie.
Oh, really? Weird.
Yeah, which in Demolition Man, he mentions cigarettes too when he gets unfrozen.
Yeah,
but it was weird seeing him smoke a cigarette.
That's illegal. It was like in Copland whenever he's all fat. Like, that's just weird too.
I love that movie as well. That was a good one. Yeah, it doesn't get enough.
Totally different.
Yeah. Hey, yeah, he fucking he put on a bunch of pounds for that fucking movie. That wasn't a fat suit. Yeah,
it's a dope movie though.
Oh yeah, it's a great like cop drama, like cop crime drama kind of film. Yeah, it almost made my list.
Mine too. That was almost my number three actually.
Yeah,
see, I was struggling with Cliffhanger too.
Fucking yeah, Yeah, that's another one, man. John Lithgow is the bad guy.
I even put in our chat, I was like, maybe we can go five on this one. But
yeah, we thought about it.
It'd be rough.
There's so many good ones, man. There really are.
Which means we can Rooker, John Lithgow, and just so many people in that movie Cliffhanger.
Mm-hmm.
That's a another lot movie. Of stories
about Stallone being a dick, being a diva when he was on set, but you know, you can take it that way, but another way to take it is this guy will do whatever it takes, and he's just fucking competitive, and he wants to be the best. And look at his career.
Yeah.
And, you know, the way he would transform his body from one extreme in Copland to the other extreme in Rambo 2 in Rocky 4, and when he got in sick fucking shape.
Yeah.
In, like, a really short amount of time.
I forget what movie that he did, but it was right after. Let's see what he did. Cobra, then Rocky III, then Tango and Cash, then Rocky IV, I think.
Rocky IV was before Tango and Cash.
Okay. Oh, they said like he would get up like 3 hours before they'd start filming and work out. Then he'd film for like 10 to 12 hours, and then he'd go back to the gym for another 3 to 4 hours.
Yeah.
And then he'd get about 4 or 5 hours of sleep and get up and do it all over again.
Oh, something else about Demolition Man that I remember hearing about a long time ago. I remember how many wives he's had, but he got caught cheating on his wife on Demolition Man.
Oh.
Because they were all wearing, he was still wearing his microphone shit or whatever.
Oh, that sucks.
And he was fucking one of the, like, assistants or whatever the fuck. And everybody could hear him in the other room. And the thing that got said was that he kept telling this girl to smack his ass. So the next day, people were wearing shirts that said smack my ass on it. The Italian Stallion, which many people don't realize, that Sylvester Stallone started out in pornography.
He did. That was his first movie, I believe.
Italian Stallion, yeah. I've never seen it. But
I've never seen it either.
I don't want to.
I've heard that's where he got his nickname, the Italian. I don't know if that's true, though. But
from what I hear, it sounds that's about right.
Probably right.
And I almost wrestled. I almost, for shits and giggles, like, was going to look for that movie just so we could talk, like, so I could talk. But I was like, I'm not gonna be the guy that has that in my search engine.
Yeah, I almost watched that. It kind of sounds like a porn, I guess. Lords of Flatbush.
I don't even know what it is.
It came out like way early.
1974, I believe it came out.
Oh, wow.
Big first little breakthrough.
So he started. I mean, he didn't just like fucking land this. He worked to get where he was at for a long ass time. So I can see how people would confuse that with being a dick, but it's being competitive. Well,
what was the movie that he did with like Dolly Parton or whatever?
Oh, I've never. Well,
the Rhinestone Cowboy or whatever.
Yeah, that's it.
I've never seen it, but I've seen bits and pieces of it because my mom was watching it when I was younger at one point, and I was like, "What the fuck is this?"
You watch?
Yeah, I think I'm good on that. I don't know. I think Sylvester Stallone at one time wanted to be, like, I think him and John Travolta were trying to see who could be the coolest guy in town. You know what I mean?
That's like with in that movie Nighthawks, whenever him and Billy Dee are walking around through town and they're all like undercover and dressed up, and then like you can see like Sly walking through the streets all slick with his little bebop.
Oh yeah. Oh, so yeah, that's a good one too.
He's got his cabbie hat on backwards. Oh, Billy Dee in his Superman shirt.
Yeah.
It was that movie with Dolly Parton. I think he did another comedy, like way early on.
He did. Yeah, I can't remember what it was though.
That might be why he stayed away from comedy for so long.
That would also make sense.
And
it would make sense.
That would explain like why he didn't want to do that with Cobra.
He didn't right, want to do comedy.
He wanted to play to his strengths, and so I don't think that's being a dick. I think that's like knowing your strengths and knowing your weaknesses and pushing for it.
He actually had a uncredited role in the show MASH.
Oh really? Oh yeah, that was
way back.
There's a story with Stopper. My mom will shoot.
Yeah.
I think Arnold tricked him into doing that. Is what the story is.
Really?
Yeah, because Arnold said he was offered the part and turned it down. Yeah, Arnold tricked him into doing it. And somehow he made his feelers get out and tell Stallone that Arnold's going to do this movie. Oh, shit, quick, I better sign on to do it before he gets it.
Then he was like, that's shit. Great.
Yeah, because Arnold's competitive, too. Arnold doesn't give a fuck.
But both of them have always been kind of competitive with each other.
Yeah, they
were twins.
Arnold did have a lot better luck with comedy than Stallone did. I will say that.
In most cases, yeah.
Yeah.
I mean,
I don't know, man. Last Action Hero is still pretty fucking funny.
It is.
Oh yeah, yeah. It really, yeah. That's yeah. We've talked about that. It's a great fucking movie.
It is.
Where are we at?
Number ones, I think.
Are we on number ones already?
I believe.
Numero uno.
This is a fun conversation, though. I lost track of where we were at.
Yeah.
But number one, like, I think the only reason I picked this one, other, I mean, I love the movie, but it's been my favorite Stallone movie since I was a kid. So I just had to go with this one. And I know not everybody's going to agree with me, but I don't care. Like I said, it was my favorite Stallone movie since I was a kid. Rambo First Blood Part 2.
Oh, yeah.
And this was the one that actually spawned the cartoon and the action figures, which I did have.
Me too.
We said before on the show, this happened a lot with action movies back in the 80s. Like RoboCop had happened to, where they found out kids were watching, and man, fucking with a quickness, overnight, a cartoon of it came out. Even the Toxic Avengers. Mm-hmm. The Toxic Crusader had a cartoon that came on Saturday mornings at 5 a.m.
We'll have to do a movie cartoon episode. Like, all those movies, like the cartoons, and then like Police Academy cartoons.
Oh yeah, Police Academy was another one.
Oh, I forgot about that. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
We'll have to do that one day.
Find those. I'm gonna find that Police Academy one though.
I know the Police Academy ones are on YouTube.
Okay, I'm gonna put that shit up.
We have a pretty good clip here of Rambo 2. Hopefully our volume's okay.
Johnny, this is Troughton. Where the hell are you? John, come in. Murdoch. He's here. Rambo, this is Murdoch. We're glad you're alive. Where are you? Give us your position and we'll come to pick you up. Murdoch. I'm coming to get you.
I just want to, like, every time we show a clip, I just want to keep watching the movie.
I know. Yeah. That's one of my favorite scenes of that fucking movie, though, because it's just, like, the lightning goes on, and you can hear his, like, muscles, and he's so pissed. It's like, yes, shit's getting ready to go down.
It is such a good movie. That was always one of my favorites when I was a kid. I watched that shit so many times.
Mm-hmm.
It went through a couple of scripts, but the ones who got credit for it were Stallone and James Cameron, actually.
Yeah.
Hmm.
He said, I guess James Cameron wrote all the action scenes and then fucking Stallone did all the political type scenes.
Yeah. And I'm sure Cameron gave it some structure too.
Probably.
Yeah.
And it's such a cool, after Ko gets killed and he fucking goes off the deep end, he starts picking those guys off one by one.
Yeah, that scene where he's hiding in the mud was always
That's my favorite one too.
Yeah.
Fucking, it was such a memorable scene.
His eyes open up and that sound effect plays. Dun, dun. Oh shit. He blows the one guy up with the arrow.
The beginning of the scene where the music's playing, whenever he's actually getting ready and like he's tying his boots and sharpening his knife. And
that part was actually used in the opening for the cartoon. When he's tying his boots and all that, putting the headband on.
We actually did a Jason video the one year. And then whenever I was doing my makeup and shit, we like filmed me like tying my boots and stuff and everything. And then like we used that music in the background.
That's perfect.
And I wasn't a Rocky guy. I was always a Rambo guy.
Same.
I gotta say. And like the third one I liked, but the fourth one I actually really liked. That was the one that was fucking brutal. Just because of the brutal fucking violence. Last Blood, kind of. The end was cool.
I haven't seen that one yet.
It wasn't that.
I heard it was pretty weak. I heard it was a pretty sorry excuse for a Rambo movie. Now, Rambo, was it Rambo, the newest one, the one that came out before that?
Yeah.
Yeah.
That was the brutal
one. That one. Yeah. That one had so many kills, and just so many kills happened with just that one scene where he's just like, oh, dude, I like that one a lot, actually.
Yeah, he like cuts himself and runs through the woods to track the dog's wave towards him, and just starts taking everybody the fuck out.
Yes, I was just thinking about that scene, the minefield, and when they have the people go out and run, and it's just a fucking game to them. It's like, Jesus, these are some brutal fucking people. God damn.
Yeah.
That was because my dad wanted to watch that movie, and I was like, you're not going to like it, because he doesn't like movies that are too brutally violent like that, and I was like, you're not going to like it.
Oh,
my dad's the same way. Yeah.
And First Blood 2, of course, was such a great movie. Different.
We'll get to that.
And I liken them to Alien and Aliens. Like, you can't, they're kind of different. Like, you can't really pick your favorite one.
Yeah.
But there you go.
It's kind of funny, though, because it also goes back to Hot Shots Part Deux. It's really hard to watch Rambo 2 and not think of Hot Shots
Part Deux. Boat and, like, the whole boat sinks because it's covered in bullets.
Yeah. Like, that's, yeah. There was something about part two that was always, like, I don't know, a favorite as a kid as well. The first two, I think, they're great. Rambo 3 gets kind of cheesy. Yeah. Like, it just, there was something about it that just, it kind of missed its mark with me, I guess. But those movies should have been a trilogy, and they should not have touched them anymore.
Oh, I don't think so.
You know, Rambo was all right, but still, it didn't need to be made. We could just had the three, leave it be, and that'd be it. But First Blood Part Two, that one's a killer fucking movie. And I always thought it was kind of weird that the guy that plays Murdoch or whatever, he kind of almost looks like Brian Dennehy.
When I was a kid, I would get him confused.
Oh, really?
I don't know if they did that on purpose or not. That made them look so much alike, but.
Martin Coe was in a lot of movies back then, too.
Mm-hmm. He always looked the same. He always had that sleeveless.
Yeah. Every time you see him, he has sleeveless something.
He always, like,
his gi or whatever, his fucking army jacket. Like,
he was always a good bad guy.
He suns out guns out every day.
Yeah, don't forget one thing, a good supply of body bags. I think Troutman, though, actually probably had the best lines.
Apparently he didn't sign up till the week before they started filming.
Oh, really?
So he had to get like all of his lines pretty much fed to him through like the whole, like, well, in the first Rambo. Oh, really? First Blood.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, that's weird. I couldn't tell.
No, not at all.
Yeah, he had to like have everybody just read his lines to him before they started shooting. And then it kind of went from there.
And especially when he passed away, like I really didn't think they would ever do a Rambo again.
Right.
Which I think it was in the early 2000s he passed away. It was a long time ago.
Yeah, it is kind of weird seeing Rambo movies without him in it. Because he is one of those characters that like you always expect to see.
Well, he was like his like security blanket.
He was the one that always talked him down.
Right.
It was you know, John, come on, Johnny, John Rambo.
The book, Rambo commits suicide.
But of course, the studio
would never let that happen. They want their sequels.
In the book, Rambo wasn't a good guy.
Mm-mm.
He was total opposite. He wasn't just trying. He was just wanting to just kill. Mm-hmm. And it was innocent people, whatever. He didn't give a fuck. And the whole ending of the first movie, that was the. I don't know if they ever filmed it or not.
I don't know if they did or not.
Part of me thinks I heard they did, but I could be completely wrong about that. But I remember when I heard about that when I was younger, and I was like, that'd been a totally different fucking movie.
It'd be
a different vibe altogether. Shit.
Yeah. Yeah, they had to make some changes, otherwise you weren't going to root for the protagonist, that's for sure.
I just always like that scene where he finally gets the helicopter and he just starts flying back towards the camp, and he's blowing everything the fuck up. And then, like, the other fucking Russian chopper, like, comes over, and he's sitting there, like, landed in the middle of like the little stream or whatever, and he fucking just whips out the fucking rocket launcher and shoots him down. That shit's so good.
Fuck yeah.
That's that Indiana Jones moment.
And then he flies back to wherever the fuck their station was on a shitty ass busted up fucking helicopter.
And yeah.
And the shit goes down when he starts shooting up the whole fucking place.
But yeah. Great.
Classic.
Movie. Who's number one? Classic. Oh, you're number one.
Number one. See, I'm going to pull the oddball.
Uh-oh.
Bam.
Oh.
Over the top. Nice little family type guys down on his luck type movie. He's the underdog and comes out on top from using over the top.
Yeah. Another movie as a kid. Watched it all the fucking time.
Mm-hmm.
Loved it.
I had an uncle that looked just like Bull Hurley.
Some guy at work the other day called me
Bull Hurley.
He was
a truck driver, too.
Do what?
So there's a guy at work the other day that called me Bull Hurley. It was pretty funny.
What? He's what was the context?
Like Bull Hurley. I was like, I'll take it. Sign me up.
Shall we watch a clip of the Over the Top?
Do it.
Oh, let's do it. You do it. You do it.
Are now psyching each other out. Can you imagine? Link Hawk is giving away just about 100 pounds to Bull Hurley. That's a lot to give away in our wrestling, ladies and gentlemen. Where strength is so important.
Let's go.
Yeah! All right, gentlemen. Let the competition begin. Yeah! May the best man win.
Come on, chicken shit.
Raise your elbows here. Hawk, you too. Come on.
What I do is I just try to take my hat and I turn it around, and it's like a switch. It goes on, and when the switch goes on, I feel like another person. I feel like a truck, like a machine.
I own Duck and Leaf.
That's so funny.
I see what they were talking about, Chad.
There's some weird dialogue in that movie, though.
Well, the guy that played Bull was his name's Rich Zumwalt, and he's actually a professional arm wrestler back then. He actually taught Stallone how to arm wrestle while they were making the movie. Him and the kid that played his son that was in pretty much every fucking 80s movie back in the day.
Yeah. I can't remember his name.
Was he the kid in Flight of the Navigator?
Yes.
I was thinking that, yeah.
David Mendenhall.
And I don't know whatever happened to him. He kind of dropped off the face of the earth, too.
I mean, plus you had what's that guy's last name? Robert Loggia.
Was that the guy that played his dad?
His grandfather.
Or his grandfather.
He's the bad guy in Scarface. Well, the guy that got Tony started in Scarface. Played in Big. played in fucking a lot of crazy shit.
Independence Day.
Oh, yeah. He was in that, wasn't he? But to me, like, I don't know. Like, whenever I was a kid, like, if that movie came when I watched it nonstop.
Same.
Like, there's so many fucking good scenes in that movie. Like, whenever the kid's, like, he's trying to get his son to arm wrestle this other little punk kid in the fucking arcade at the restaurant. And then he loses and he goes back out and has his little rah-rah speech and pretty much tells his kid, like, put your mind to anything, you can fucking do it. And he goes back and smacks that kid twice. And then they start riding around and then he calls his mom because she's dying of cancer. And Terry Funk is definitely in that movie.
Oh, that's
right. Yeah, he is.
Yeah. That's whenever he was doing his breakout acting because he was in Roadhouse too.
Oh, yeah. A very young Terry Funk.
Yeah.
I forgot about that. Yeah.
He gets his ass kicked in both movies. Once by Patrick Swayze and once by Stallone.
Hey, man.
I do remember there was actually over-the-top merchandise. When I was a kid, they actually sold the table that you could arm wrestle on. And I wanted my parents to buy it for me so bad, but it was like $100.
A lot of my friends... I remember trying to arm wrestle my friends all the time after that. I became that guy because of that fucking movie. I mean, my friends would be... And that lasted for years. I'd get drunk and when I fucking, like... arm wrestle too. Hey, let's arm wrestle. And that became a thing. And I'm like, man, I've been doing this shit since I was like 7.
I guess Siskel and Ebert gave that movie a shitty rating. I mean, it's not like the greatest movie, but then apparently like Stallone saw Ebert somewhere and pushed him up against the wall and was like, you can criticize my movies, but don't judge my acting or some shit like that.
Don't fuck with Stallone, man. Yeah, but Siskel and Ebert, though, honestly, most of the time, if they didn't like a movie, I liked it.
Yeah, right. Fuck
those guys. Rest in peace. Django and
Cash apparently was up for 3 different nominations for a Raspberry Award, but it didn't win any of them.
Really?
One was Worst Actor, Stallone. The one was Worst Actress, which was Kurt Russell because of the drag scene. And then Worst Screenplay Written.
Damn, I thought it was pretty good. I liked it.
That's funny.
I've seen a lot worse.
yeah. But then, like that last scene we just watched, though, whenever fucking Stallone wrestles, arm wrestles Bull Hurley. Well, apparently, like during the scene, fucking, like Stallone always told him like not to take it easy on him. And in that scene, he fucking ended up pulling Bull Hurley's arm out of socket and fucked up his shoulder. And then Stallone had a fucking torn ligament in his arm.
Jesus Christ.
Well, have you ever seen that video of fucking... Dude, I've seen people get hurt fucking...
He loses and Bull, like, screams. He's actually screaming because his arm came out of socket.
Oh, damn.
I feel like I've heard that somewhere. Just the video of Larry the Cable Guy fucking arm wrestling. Well, no, this is a video that was, like, that somebody filmed at a restaurant. It was at a Waffle House or something. And somebody
was actually arm wrestling somebody?
Yeah. Somebody wanted to arm wrestle Larry the Cable Guy. And Larry the Cable Guy went like that, and then the guy that he was arm wrestling, like his fucking bone popped up out of his fucking arm. It's on YouTube. Like, it's pretty fucked up. Like, damn, I didn't think
the beginning of that scene though, before the arm wrestle, like Bull ends up like punching Stallone in the face, but like Stallone knew like he was going to get hit, but he didn't want to know when it was coming, so he actually ended up punching him in the face, and Stallone almost had a broken nose. And then, like, apparently, like, during, like, after that match, whenever they were arm wrestling, like, apparently Stallone actually beat him whenever they were sitting there arm wrestling like that.
He called him
on. Good fucking
movie. That movie to me was
another
like,
fun one.
It's just like the ultimate underdog story.
Yeah.
That's not Rocky.
Right.
Yeah.
I always liked it, too. I used to rent that movie all the time when I was a kid.
And even the soundtrack to it was pretty fucking dope.
Yeah, those Sammy Hagar songs were actually pretty good.
Hope you can hear this. In a lifetime made of memories. Better stop before we get shut down.
We could, man, we show all these movies. We show all these fucking movie clips, but that'll be the one that did it.
Right?
We just came off our probation. We better be.
Kenny Loggins like, you motherfuckers in the danger zone now. You better look out.
Yeah, I used to have that soundtrack too. I had a lot of movie soundtracks.
They're good.
I did too. Chuck, yeah, that
is your number one stop or my mom will shoot.
No, I kind of wish it was, but it's not.
I think it's First Blood.
Okay.
Then
we're going to watch a clip of Stopper. My mom will shoot.
Please, because that, yeah.
But apparently also that kid that played his son in the movie played a voice of Daniel in the Transformers cartoon movie back in the 80s.
Oh, that's right. He did.
Oh, shit. Okay.
Oh.
That would be a
13-year-old voice actor and a fucking star.
You got any shrink show up yet?
No, he's on his way.
Okay. All right, Mom, you stay right here.
Oh, my God. Why? Where are you going?
I'm going up there.
Oh, up there? Are you crazy? It's too dangerous.
Listen, Mom, I do this all the time, and it just so happens I'm not bad at it. Look, I want you to stay here and let me take care of this.
Don't do... Joe. Joe, be careful. Don't do anything foolish. Joey, be careful. Excuse me, officer.
Yes?
What seems to be the young man's problem?
Well, he wants to talk to his mother. Apparently, they've been having some problems.
Really?
I'll take care of this, officer. Yeah. Hey, kid. How you doing? You all right?
Leave me alone. I don't want anyone touching me. You stay back. I swear to God, I'm going to do it.
All I want to do is come out there and talk with you.
Don't you tell me what to do. Hey. You stay right there. I swear to God, I'm going to do it.
Young man, down here. I know I'm not your mother, but I am a mother.
Oh, no.
And I was thinking you could talk to me if that's all right.
Officer, this is serious up here.
Yeah, hey, let her talk. What do you want?
I just want you to know that young man next to you is my son. And God knows he and I have had our difficulties.
Mom, stay out of this, okay?
Joe, wave to the crowd.
Mom, God damn it!
Hey, you don't swear to your mother.
Hey, butt out. Hey. It's my mother. Relax.
Hey, it's your mother, so you do what she tells you to do. Now, come on, you start waving or I'm jumping. Start waving!
All right,
I'm jumping!
Let it out.
Start waving or I'm jumping!
I'm waving, see? Mom, hi!
By the way, Joe is still single, and he has that. He's a very nice boy, a little rough around the edges, but nothing that the right girl could smooth out.
Officer, secure the megaphone!
Anyway, with Joe was little, we were fighting all the time. You see, he was very small for his age.
I was not small for my age. I was average height. What's your height? What's the big deal?
Yeah, right. I bet she's got pictures.
I've got pictures. Wait a minute.
She's got pictures.
Oh, please get rid of the pictures!
Is he adorable? Anyway,
Jesus, and I thought I had things bad.
Not close.
Excuse me, I think I'm ready to go in now.
Yeah, yeah.
Sorry about the inconvenience.
No problem.
Tell you, that guy needs help.
See, it's funny. It's funny. What?
I always liked it. I always thought it was funny.
I gotta watch that later. God damn it.
Yeah, that's a good one. Where she washes his gun.
Yeah.
Like, it's been a while since I watched that one too, but
Rob didn't like it. Why? It's funny.
Could you imagine if it was Arnold Schwarzenegger?
No. I can't even picture it.
It'd be kind of like watching Kindergarten Cop 2 with Dolph Lundgren.
Secure the megaphone.
Who would play his mother? Would it still be Estelle Getty?
It has to be. It better be. There ain't no way.
It wouldn't make as much sense. I believe her to be like his mom, like this, like the Italian, like Jewish, you know, mom or wherever the hell. He's still single.
I got pictures.
Oh, there we go. So there's a nice lead in. So now,
Chuck's number one.
Well, as you've already kind of figured out, First Blood. That I rewatched it again last night. Man, I love that fucking movie.
That's a
good one.
It's in my opinion. I mean, it's the best one out of all of them, in my opinion.
Mm-hmm.
Just because it really shows you like how shitty vets, you know, were treated. And it's, there's parts in it where you really feel bad for him, like big time. Like he just wants something to eat, and fucking, you know, Brian Dennehy's character, the fucking sheriff, is being a fucking dickhead to him. Not in this town, you're not.
Why are you pushing?
Like, what the hell? Yeah, and then it. I mean, the thing is, and at the end of the day, it's all that sheriff's fucking fault. Everything is that motherfucker's fault. And when they get him in the jail, and they're trying to shave him, and he loses his fucking shit. Like, dude, right then you know, like, okay, he's getting ready to fucking like take them all out. Simple. The last guy that he hits before he goes out the fucking door, and then the police station, he gives him an elbow. He actually nailed the guy in the nose. And that's why you see that guy the whole rest of the movie. He's wearing a Band-Aid on his fucking nose.
Broke his
nose.
Really?
Yeah.
We actually have that clip.
Excellent.
Let's roll.
Roll it. Can't you see this guy's crazy?
Can't you see I don't give a shit?
Yeah, I can see that.
That's better. See there. I knew.
You're just going to shave your partner. Take it easy.
Take this, Mitch. Don't move. I don't want you to catch your own throat.
You son of a bitch! Come on!
What the hell is
Art? Art?
I just want to keep watching it.
I know, dude. Oh, it's so fucking good. I mean, it really does show you what happens if you just keep pushing somebody. Mm-hmm. You know, it's like he's just like, you all are, you know, you're not getting it. But I mean, like all the flashbacks and everything, like it really shows like the fucking hell that he went through. And these guys have no idea. They did their tough shit. Fucking Dr. Phil getting his ass whooped. Like, that me and my friend, she'd never seen it either, and we were watching stuff, and she was feeling the same way I was. She's like, "Oh, gouge that motherfucker's eyes out," you know, and because when you see him later on, he's got this big whelp on his fucking eye, you know, because you hate that guy but more than you hate Diddy, you know, like you fucking hate that guy. He's a big old piece of shit, and we've all known that guy. The fact that it has a duder that was in fucking NYPD Blue and later being one of the CSI shows.
That was David Caruso, if anybody caught that.
And he's the one that's actually got the fucking brains in the fucking like movie early on before some of the other guys do. He's like, when they find out that he's, you know, he's a war hero, and he's like, dude, this is fucking stupid. He's going to fucking kill us all. And they're like, we'll still go with you. Okay. Which the scene where they find out that he's, you know, a Green Beret and all that shit. And the look on the sheriff's face is the look of a guy that realizes, I fucked up and I can't look back now. Mm-hmm. Like, and there's so many fucking moments in this fucking movie where you're just like, okay, so is Rambo fucking doing the right thing here? Whatever. Probably morally not. But that's all he fucking knows. And these fucking shitty fucking mm-hmm. small town fucking cops, which I come from a place called Winchester, Kentucky, where the cops have a bad reputation for being just like these fucking shitheads. It's every generation of cop in this fucking, in that place, it ends up being a shithead. It's like in their books. Like, you have to be a shithead to be a cop here. And that's what these cops remind me of. So when they get their fucking ass handed to them, reminds me all the times I got hassled by cops when I was younger. And I'm like, yes, justice, justice, justice. This movie just fucking, I love it. Another fucking thing that happened was when Rambo jumps and he goes to the trees, he had already hurt his fucking, he hurts his rib as he's going down the tree or whatever. And he's supposed to be having a screaming pain and agony because of his arm, because he gets fucked up, you know. But he's actually, like, in real fucking pain because of his fucking ribs being fucking broke. And he still fucking did the movie. I can't remember if he went to the hospital before or after they got done making that movie or whatever. But, yeah, the guy's a fucking trooper, because he said that he wanted to do his own stunts. He was very adamant about it. And
he's done pretty much most of his own stunts in the first few films he did.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. This one just, there's so much heart in this one. Like, you really do feel for Rambo. You really do, like, you understand. It's like, you keep pushing, you know, you keep fucking flicking that dog in the fucking nose over and mm-hmm. over again. What's going to happen? Well, the only thing he fucking knows, to fucking rip people apart when he's, like, backed in a corner. And he even says, you know, because he even tells him, like, when they first go out, you know, in the woods, and he's like, I didn't, you know, he's like, I don't want this. I don't want more bloodshed after fucking Dr. Phil falls out of the fucking, like, helicopter. Like, he's like, I didn't do this. You know, I didn't do anything wrong, blah, blah, blah. And they're still like, ah, fuck you, and all that shit. And right. He just fucking hands it to him. And one of the greatest scenes, because as we've learned, like in part two, where he's telling Murdoch he's coming for him. In this one, he's talking to his old army. What was the guy's name again?
Troutman?
Yeah. And he's trying to get him to snap out of it. And he's naming off all the names of the people that you already know because mm-hmm. of early on are dead. Mm-hmm. And making him, you know, and then he snaps out and he's just like, they drew first blood. They drew first blood. And you're like, oh, he's not going to let this end. And then he goes back and kicks even more ass.
Yeah, towards the end, whenever he starts breaking down and crying and shit, you can feel that, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Even with, like, Troutman's, like, reaction too, like, mm-hmm. you know, like, he knows, like, even you can tell, like, in Troutman's reaction, like, he knows, like, you can tell he knows where he's coming from because he's seen this shit too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm not going to lie. I guess as an older guy watching this fucking movie, you know, watching that scene, me and my friend both were sitting here, and I'm like, I get a lot. I'm a little teary eyed, because mm-hmm. like he's like, because you know, the kind of people that his character's based off of, vets, they see and do things we could never imagine, you know, and I think, I mean, that was legitimate. Like, that was a fucking great fucking scene. It just really fucking shows. Like, I think Sylvester Stallone did a great job showing, like, you know, this is how your mind fucking works. And right. you can't fucking let those images and stuff out of your fucking head, you know? Mm-hmm. And it's a very passionate movie. It's a really moving movie. And it's also got some killer ass fucking fight scenes. And, you know,
the worst thing too was, for me, was whenever you would do, like, the dog went up on the other side of the ridge to, like, catch him, and you hear the dog whimper, like, you know, he killed him, and I hate that shit.
Like, oh yeah. Yeah. That part I hate too.
Like, it sucked, but, I mean, you get it, because, I mean, that's what happened.
Well, I also love the fact that, like, his knife, that's all he fucking really needs.
Yeah.
You know, he makes sure he grabs his fucking knife. And when the army dude or whatever is trying to tell the fucking sheriff, like, how fucked up he actually is, like, he is on all this shit. And he's right. like, he eats things that Billy Ghost wouldn't. And then you see him, like, you know, taking a, like, he kills a boar, fucking cuts him up and fucking, you know, eats that shit or whatever. Like, he knows what he's fucking doing. It's like, it doesn't matter. All these fucking cops, they know this, that, and the other. They never fucked with him. You know what I mean? With somebody like him. Even, I mean, even down to the scene with the fucking, the rocket launcher into the fucking mine. Those guys are like, I'm not going in there. I'm not going. I work part time. Like, I didn't sign up for this. Like, a bunch of them start getting the hint, like, this, this guy's fucking tough, you know?
Right. Well, it's funny because apparently, like, he was, like, I guess they filmed most of that movie in Canada. And then, like, that scene, like, pretty much, like, the whole movie he was, or, like, the whole time they were filming, he was pretty much just walking around in a tank top. And then whenever he makes that little, like, makeshift shirt or whatever, like, he takes that piece of, like, an old piece of cloth or whatever and cuts it. Like, that was, like, all them. Like, he said he needed a shirt, so that was just them filming him walking around. Then he found this, like, old dry-rotted piece of fucking cloth, and then he ended up making it. So, like, all that shit was pretty much ad-lib, and they were just filming him trying to find something to wear.
Which, I mean, it's perfect. It's, you know, it shows how resourceful he is, you know?
Yeah.
Hey, guys.
What?
Okay, excuse me for 1 second. I'll be right back, okay?
Okay.
All right.
Yeah, we know a lot more about PTSD than we did back then.
Right.
I don't even know if that was a medical term when that movie came out.
Probably not. It's kind of like ADHD type shit. You know what I mean? Like, that shit never came around. I mean, I'm sure PTSD probably came around before ADHD. I mean.
And yeah, that whole movie is some of his best work.
It really is. Like, I know, well, I'll wait till drop the bomb. I don't know if Chuck knows some of the stuff that I found out about that shit, but. What is that?
Kincaid.
I was wondering.
Should we watch it?
Sure. The best scene of any fucking Nightmare on Elm Street movie.
Locked during sleeping hours. We start a policy of evening sedation for everybody.
The fuck you will! Anybody tries drug on me, get his ass kicked!
You just bought yourself a night in the quiet room, mister. Now sit down.
Fuck you! You sit down!
Easy, Kincaid.
Nobody gonna put me to sleep! Man, get away from me, man. Get down on me. I don't want... I'm drunk on me. Get
a... A night in the quiet room, mister. Now sit down. Sit down.
Fuck you! You sit down!
Easy, Kincaid.
Nobody gonna put me to sleep! Man, get away from me, man. Get down on me. I don't want to go to sleep. Ain't nobody gonna put me to sleep. I don't want to go to sleep. Man, ain't nobody gonna put me to sleep.
Why the fuck are y'all playing that? Just while I was gone?
Yeah. Because it was on the thing and he was going through videos. I was like, what's that? And he's like, Kincaid. And I'm like, oh shit. So we watched it.
It's a good scene. It's a good scene. Yeah, sorry about that, guys.
But apparently it was Kirk Douglas was the first go-to. And then Chris Christopherson was the second people that were supposed to play Troutman before Richard came in and played him. But they didn't want to because they were both they both had like real purple hearts and shit from the like the wars. And they didn't want to see a veteran chasing and attacking cops.
And yeah, this movie would never come out today, ever. We'll never see this one again.
No.
But I knew people with PTSD. I knew a lot of people. I've seen that switch turn on. I've seen one guy take on five motherfuckers one time and
I've known quite a few. I knew a couple of people. I won't name names, but that I knew separately that they were overseas and they came back and pretty much had a hitman business and disguised as a bodyguard business. And one of them wasn't that really that bad of a guy, but he realizes how bad it was with the shit he did. And the other guy, well, he's a complete piece of shit. And yeah, that's all I knew. Like they knew they were good at killing, you know, and that's when the switch isn't flipped permanently or even tried to be. And especially the times when, you know, like, you know, First Blood was taking place and shit, it was just send them back. Don't try to, you know, and I've known a lot of people that have had to deal with that kind of shit. I have a lot of respect for farm vets and shit, man, because they weren't treated that good back in the day, and some people were still shitheads to them, you know.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I've known people that they can't enjoy 4th of July like, you know,
right,
like a lot of us do, because it reminds them of war. Because I mean, you walk outside, it sounds like a war is going on.
Yeah,
right.
Mm-hmm. I know one guy that has to wear headphones, mm-hmm. and have it playing all night long, so he's not hearing anything. Mm-hmm. I knew one guy that I hadn't seen since high school that I ran into him at a party years later, and he went from being a little small dude to like a big, like, I mean, he was fucking, you know, muscle. And tell you what, you give a fucking guy, you put a bunch of drinks in the guy that just came back from overseas and went through a bunch of shit, and then put him in a party setting. Yeah, that's a dangerous situation, and I had to deal with that once. And it's almost worse being the guy trying to make somebody come back from that than being the guy that they're aiming for, because you try to stop them or whatever, they're not too keen on it, you know. So, but not to mean to be all serious and shit about it, but First Blood, man, that's First Blood is my number one pick on it, because that movie, just every time I watch it, I'm just like, fuck.
That's apparently just so... Stallone tried to buy the movie from the company because he didn't like it. He thought it was going to be garbage. And then, like, apparently he had, like, a lot more talking scenes in it, so he said, cut all my talking scenes out to make it more mysterious. Mm-hmm. And then that's pretty much the movie we got.
That makes more sense.
Except that part at the end. That speech at the end was
right.
That was some of his best stuff.
Well, then also the scene where he's driving the bike and Dennehy's character Tegan's chasing him in the car. Mm-hmm. The stunt driver, whenever like they hit that big jump and it goes flying over, the stunt driver, whenever he landed right in like the middle of the body of the car, and he broke his back. Whenever they got done filming that scene, he couldn't get out of the car because he couldn't move his legs.
Well, a lot of hurt on that set. God, I'd like to know actually how many mishaps happened on the other Rambo movies.
Right.
You know, God, so many in the first one. God, I love First Blood though, man.
Yeah, that movie's fucking great. Like, you cannot go wrong with First Blood.
And like I was saying back then, I don't even know if PTSD was a medical term back when that movie came out. I don't think it was.
Like, apparently too, like all the members of like his Vietnamese unit, whenever he was talking about like all of his friends he was trying to visit, like Davenport and all them guys or whatever. Mm-hmm. Apparently they were all part of the film crew. Like, he used all their last names.
Huh.
And all the actors that played like the Weekend Warriors or whatever, they all used their real last names.
Hmm. Okay.
Made it easy.
And also about the fourth one, the way that movie ends with him walking towards that house that was in the first one, I always thought it was cool.
Yeah.
That's why they most definitely should have stopped there, for sure. But
even has Rambo in the mailbox.
Mm-hmm. But there you go. That was a good list. That was a hard one to do.
It was.
Like you said, if the movie you guys like wasn't on our list, that doesn't mean we didn't like it. That I just kind of shot from the hip on this one.
Yeah, because Lockup was almost on my list. It's my number three.
Lockup, Cliffhanger.
Oh, yeah.
Specialist. I don't know if any. I probably
Judge Dredd. Oh, the Specialist. I got the Specialist.
Yeah, Judge Dredd, the Specialist.
Assassins. That's I mean, that's what I'm saying. Like, there's so many good fucking movies. I mean, like, I can't really name. I mean, when it comes down to like,
does have the most impressive resumes for movies that still hold up. You know what I mean?
That's what I'm saying. Stallone's probably always gonna be my. He has to be. Like I said, after going through this revisit of all these action movies and these action stars that I haven't even given a fuck about for years, like I realize I'm like, man, I'm a Stallone fan.
Mm-hmm.
Like, no offense to the other guys, but Stallone's probably my favorite. I mean, his resume is fucking huge, and I, you know, after a certain point, I don't really think he was in a shitty fucking movie. They're all pretty decent for the most part, unless I'm leaving something out, you know. But and I'm sure I probably am. But
I mean, but like, 90s and stuff was probably. I mean, like Daylight and stuff like that wasn't great, but it was still like an entertaining movie. You know what I mean?
Oh yeah, like you're always. Yeah, you're always entertained. A lot of those movies are fun. Like was mentioned, The Specialist and Assassin. You know, that Assassin was cool. you know, you had Antonio Banderas and him fucking like going head to head. That was when Antonio Banderas was playing more of these fucking action roles. Mm-hmm. You know, I've got Desperado on VHS.
Love that movie.
Oh, dude. Yeah, that's a good one. But yeah, Stallone, man. Stallone all the way.
And you can't go wrong with the specialist either with fucking James Woods and fucking
Which one?
Sharon Stone. Mm. Specialist.
Which one? Oh, yeah. I might actually watch this one here a little bit. Oh, Sharon Stone.
Sharon undressed quite a few times in that movie.
Yeah, that was her thing.
I was going to say that you saw her undressed quite a bit in a lot of movies back then.
Yeah.
This is a Hollywood video exclusive.
That too, but you do in Tango and Cash as well.
And the thing is, like, even recently, Samaritan just came out on Prime. And it's a good movie. It was a good movie.
It really was. A little comic aspect. And plus, they have Guardians. He's going to be in Guardians 3.
Oh, that's right. He's in Marvel Disney. But say what you want, but the Expendables have done pretty well.
They have.
At the box office.
Like I said, I thought the first one was enjoyable because it was something totally different. It was an action movie with all your favorite action stars. The second one, and then the third one, they just got carried away. Because apparently, who was it they said? They wanted Kurt Russell to play Church instead of Bruce Willis because he was trying to get the Tango and Cash reunion going because he wanted to make a sequel to Tango and Cash. But Kurt wasn't really cool. Bored with everything. He was just like, I'm good.
Yeah, now it's just kind of gimmick, but it's a cool gimmick. I mean, I've seen them all.
Yeah.
And I think they just did the fourth one.
I don't know.
I think something like that.
I think COVID threw that one off.
Stop. Yeah, I have no idea. Stop. I don't know if I've ever seen the third one.
But hey, the guy knows what works.
Yeah.
And he does it. He's a smart fucking cat. And I don't think any of his movies went straight to video. I don't think he ever did a movie that went straight to video.
Yeah, he has.
Has he?
He has.
Like Bullet to the Head and stuff like that.
Oh, shit. I forgot about that.
I haven't seen that one. Like, I think I on Me or I on You, whatever it is.
Yeah, that's right. Because I know the sequel to Escape Plan 2, I think, went straight to video, didn't
it? That had Batista in it.
Yeah, I think that one did.
I think the first one did, didn't it? I don't know. I don't even know if Grudge Match went to the theater.
Yeah, Grudge Match did. And I think the first Escape Plan did. I think it was the other ones that did.
It could be. He's done a lot of shit. They can't all be fucking.
He actually doesn't have the rights to Rocky. But he said he's trying to get it back, and he's in the middle of a big lawsuit. That's why he threw such a fit about the Drago movie coming out. Which was kind of fucked up to do in the middle of that lawsuit. Hey, we're going to do a movie with your character.
Going back to Tango and Cash, like that one part where he says, I hate Danish. Whenever like Kurt Russell, like, would you stop for a coffee and a Danish? And he's like, I hate Danish. Apparently that was a shot at Brigitte Nielsen because he just got divorced from her.
Makes sense.
I did. That one went totally over my head.
I read that shit after we were watching it. I thought that's
One of those things that you wouldn't even think about until you read. Yeah. That's funny.
Well, we could go on and on about Stallone easily. We didn't even touch on the Rocky movies. I didn't see a reason to.
No, they stand alone.
They're good movies, but
yeah,
just not anything I really cared about that much.
Yeah,
sue me for what?
Yeah, right.
Come on, punk, touch me in that suit. George Washington Duke.
See, we could go on and on all night. But any final thoughts for Mr. Stallone before we close up the store?
He might win Action August.
I think Stallone. Yeah, I'm gonna go with it. You just gotta go for it.
The gold boner trophy.
Yeah.
Did we get a trophy like that made?
No.
No. Okay. Good.
Good. Good.
But there you have it, folks. Action August has ended.
It is now September.
Yep. What's going on? Do we have anything to plug there, Mr. Nasty?
Let's see. In October, we have been asked to play once again at Mountains of Metal here in Kentucky. That's gonna be in October. So I'll have more updates and shit on that as time goes. And apparently, our buddy Saul in the band Artwork for the Blind. He's put together a really badass festival that we're a part of. It's gonna be next year. It's gonna be in May, I think. But I can't wait to fucking, yeah. I don't know if you've ever heard of a band called Windhand, but they've been confirmed to play. They're big in like the doom kind of stoner fucking genre. But yeah, that's pretty much all. We're getting ready to work on some recordings. We had a badass show this past Friday. There's fun things in the works for band wise. Got the comic book still. Tales of Shock and Terror from Tales from the Podcast. So check that out. Tales of the Podcast. There we go, right there. .com. You can find everything you need to know about us, the podcast, as well as where to get those lovely items right there. And that's all that I've really got to report on right now.
Beautiful. Beautiful. Well, thank you once again for joining us. Join us next Wednesday night at 11, where here on Video Store Clerks, we will discuss all movies all the time. You know what? We're going to watch it again.
Locked during sleeping hours. We'll start a policy of evening sedation for everybody.
The fuck you will! Anybody tries drug on me, get his ass kicked!
Thank you again for joining us. We are your Video Store Clerks. I'm Dave.
Chapman.
Mr. Nasty.
Good night.
It's not a legacy I want to leave behind, but I am Chuck Nasty.
How the fuck am I out of this place today?
This shit can't be any fucking good.
Welcome to the store.
That was fun.
Son of a bitch, we got kicked off YouTube.
Are you serious? Are we still live right now?
No.
Yeah. Oh.
Yeah?
Yep.
This is Video Store Clerks. All movies. All the time. Welcome to the store.